Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Very good. We have any visitors here this morning? Visitors, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor of the church. If you are in the military or have family in the military, will you mind standing up? We want to honor you this morning. Let's give them a hand as they get up. Despite whatever you hear in the media, but despite whatever you hear anywhere else, we are honored that you do what you do, that your family does what they do. I was on a plane Friday coming back, and right as we landed, they said, we have a special passenger on board, and it was a fallen hero, and it was him, he was a Marine. And in the Marines, when you die, they have a Marine with your body till you go into the ground. Everywhere it goes, from the minute you die to the minute they get you, there's someone standing there. And the guy who was guarding his body walked off the plane. And then there was a Marine sitting two seats from me. And so I just guessed he was a Marine. He was reading military books. He was in shape, and he had a short haircut. So I was like, okay, I think this brother's in the military. So I asked him. I said, are you in the military? He said, yes, sir. And I said, well, I want to thank you for what you do. And he says, I will pass it on to my unit. Because it's all of us, and we want to thank you. There's no greater life price you can pay is your life, and so we thank you for that. And I think we all need to be reminded of that, and I want to encourage you, anytime you see someone in uniform or that you suspect is in the military, just go up to them and thank them. Just say thank you. Thank you for what you do. Wherever you see them, do that. And it's unfortunate they're putting their life on the line for us to be free, and yet our own government at times is undoing what they're doing. So we just pray that we bless you. And that's not a political statement. It's just kind of reality that we're not always on the same page. But we thank you for the price you're paying for us. And we need to take advantage of the freedoms they give us to do what we got to do to honor God at those freedoms. So thank you very much. Before I start, let me say this. A friend of mine had a dream that he was standing in line, and in the front of the line was Jesus, who was standing in front of a vault. And whenever you got to the front of the line, Jesus would ask you, how much do you want? So everybody was asking what they wanted, and when he got to the front of the line, he said, I want it all. I want to encourage you that God wants you to ask for it all. And it's not that if you get all of it, no one else can get something. It's that you want all of what God has for you. Because God has more for you than what we're asking. And so I want to challenge you. I just came from Washington, D.C., and I was confronted with that for me. That God was saying to me, I want you to do this. And I was driving home from the airport Friday talking to my wife about it, and I was like, she says, why wouldn't you do it? I says, I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to do it, but it's a little scary for me. And I know we all probably go through that, where God said, I want you to do for that. You're like, man, do I really want to do that? And I want to encourage you to take all what God has for you. And don't worry about, can you handle it? Is it going to change your life too much, or is that really what you want to do? Just say, God, give it to me. Because in the end, he knows what he made you for. Amen? And so as we continue our series on the Holy Spirit, I want you to have that attitude. God, just give it all to me. Whatever you want, because in a very short time, in a blink of an eye, you're going to die. You know, 50 years is a blink of an eye. I mean, we're already almost in June. This year is almost halfway over. And I don't know if that's shocking to you. It's shocking to me. It's May 24th, and June's in 1 week. And so I want to, you know, before you know it, you're going to be 70 and 80, and you're going to be dead. I mean, maybe you'll live to 90 and 100, but you're going to be dead. And I hate to say it that plenty, but that's just the way it is. How many of y'all are shocked at how fast your life has gone by so far? Amen. Y'all, you remember when you were 5 years old, learn how to ride a bike. I mean, I wish I can go back to that. But before you know you're going to be dead, you're going to be like, man, I wish I would have done this something differently. So let's today, as we learn about the Holy Spirit, let's not this be just another day in church. Let God do something in your life that's pretty special. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you love us. We thank you that You know who we are, and we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit, the invisible man, to be in our life. And the invisible man, Holy Spirit, we know that you're here. We know you listen, and we know you want to speak to us. So we pray you teach us and bless us today. Challenge us to receive it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to, let me see, 1 Corinthians. We'll get there in about 25 minutes. 1 Corinthians 3. My wife and I are, we're not health fanatics, but we're pretty much into health, organic stuff. We don't eat everything organic, but we do eat some organic. But we take a lot of supplements and pills. I take about 10 a day. My wife takes about 5,900. And she got sprays and creams and gels, and she stands under the sun with tinfoil on her head and shakes and get all this stuff. She's all up. It's all day and night. I mean, from the minute she wakes up to all day. You know, so we're just trying to, you know, help our body do what it can do. And one of these, all the stuff we take is all 100% natural. None of it's, you know, synthetic. And unless some of the stuff she's giving me is kind of, you know what I'm saying, because she may want the insurance money. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure, because she just, like, feeds me pills. She says, take this. And I'm like, okay. Then I start, you know, like this. So I don't really know what she's always giving me, but she gives me this stuff. But there's certain, all this stuff is designed, all these pills and stuff we drink is designed to empower the body to do what it's supposed to do. And the reason it needs empowerment is because all the pollution in our life, not only the foods we eat, the bad foods we eat, but the pollution in the air and the water. B12 and folic acid, for example, is designed to, one of the things it does is it enhances our DNA's ability to repair itself. We all have DNA. A DNA is like a computer chip in all your cells. It has the same strand of DNA in every cell. And it has all the information to run your whole body. And so it breaks down. And so B12 and folic acid helps it, gives it the natural nutrients it needs to fix itself. You have plaque in your arteries. Plaque comes from cholesterol. 2 ounces of pomegranate juice a day will give your cardiovascular healing system enough nutrients to decrease your plaque by 35% in 1 year. 2 ounces a day. And all it does is give your arteries what it needs, your cardiovascular healing system what it needs to heal. Omega-3 fatty acids comes from fish oil. If you take fish oil pills, and some fish oil pills aren't good for you, you want to get the right ones. They help produce your brain neurotransmitter. It helps with memory, helps with thinking, helps with fight Alzheimer's disease. Vitamin D comes from the sun. Now, the sun has negative and positive effects. Vitamin D is a good thing for you. It helps fight cancer and diabetes. You get it from the sun. Now, you also know that the sun can be bad for you. But one of the great things about that is that, especially during the summertime, when the fruits and vegetables are abundant, you get antioxidants from the fruit and vegetables to counteract what the sun is doing to your skin. Matter of fact, watermelon and tomatoes have lycopene. Lycopene actually absorbs UV rays from your skin, so it minimizes the damage. And so God wants you to get the sun, and then he gives you vegetables so you can handle the sun. A lot of people who are elderly people who are in convalescent homes, when they sit in the house or in the hospital or in the room and don't get a lot of sun, they get diseases just from the lack of sunlight, because sun is good for you. My point is this, that all these nutrients are designed to help your body do what it's supposed to do. And one of the reasons it breaks down is because of the negative things we have happening to it. But your body has an incredible potential. Matter of fact, I was at the airport one day, and it was a lady from the church. She had a little white cooler, and she came to me and says, you know, I go to the Rock, blah, 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 blah. And I said, what's in the white cooler? She says, well, I transport eyes up from the eye bank. She had a bunch of eyes in there. She was nasty. I said, you're nasty. Get in here. And then in her hand, she had these little candies in little wrappers, and soon she told me she had eyes in the cooler. She said, do you want one? And, you know, but I said, how long will these eyes last? She says, indefinitely. You know, you take them out, one person, put them another. Your body, our bodies were originally intended to live forever. And then, you know, all the time, and, you know, our sin and everything breaks it down. But our bodies have incredible potential. But we have to feed and give it what it needs to reach that potential. Last week, we started just a mini two-week series on the spiritual gifts as we talk about the Holy Spirit. And last week, we saw that spiritual gifts can be supernatural abilities that you have that you can't get anywhere else. It's like putting a program software in a computer. You can't do accounting unless you have the accounting software. You can't do graphics unless you have the graphics software. You can't do video, sound, light with the computer unless you have the software. And we talk about the Holy Spirit bringing gifts, and you can't get anywhere else except from the Holy Spirit. But there's also another way the Holy Spirit gifts work, is that they enhance stuff you already have. And we're going to see in a minute today that there's going to be two kinds, where God enhances abilities you already have and where you have gifts that you could never get anywhere else. Okay, so let's look in your notes. I have a little chart there for you just to kind of give you an overview. You could read this stuff later. But there are three lists of spiritual gifts, if you will, that you have. And the first one, the first list is from Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. You can read it later. But let me read the list. It says prophecy, ministry, teacher, exhorter, giver, leader, mercy. Number 2 through 7 are all things that people can have naturally. In other words, some people are just naturally minister people. And minister is a servant. Ministry is service. Everyone say service. If anyone ever comes up to you with a cocky attitude saying they're a minister, they're not a minister. A minister is a servant. And some of you just like to serve people. And you just have that. Before you knew God, that's how you were. Anybody like that? Very good. So you could have that. Now, when you get saved, and the Holy Spirit can bless that, but you already have that. Okay? Some people are teachers. Some of y'all really like to, and you're really good at, gathering information, organizing it, and presenting it. You have a natural gift of teaching. About 5 years ago, this young lady came to me. She was 24 at the time, and she said, I want to help you with your sermons. And I said, really? She said, yeah, I want to help you organize them, da-da-da, and, you know, because sometimes they're not da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, is that right? I said, have you ever preached a sermon? She says, no. And so I kind of patted her on the head and said, you know, I appreciate your help, little girl, but you don't know what you're talking about. Well, that young lady and I become very, very close friends, and she's helped me tremendously with my sermon, because I did end up talking to her, and she helped me understand how to better organize information and present information. And she has, and I still to this day call her up all the time, because she has to this day just this not only natural but supernatural gift of understanding that kind of stuff. And some of y'all like that. You just take information, you especially disorganize information and organize it in a very systematic way where people get it. You can have that just naturally, but then God can bless it on top of that. Exhorter, some of y'all like to encourage people. How many of y'all, raise your hand if you like to encourage people. And you have empathy for people. You like to just, you have a good, high emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is the only kind of intelligence you can increase. And it's the ability to understand how your emotional state affects other people and how to read other people's emotional state and condition and be able to respond accordingly. It's not just saying what you're going to say, being who you are. It's like reading the crowd or reading a relationship or a moment with somebody, where they're at, how they're receiving your information, how they're receiving your communication, which is not only your words, your body language, but some people just have a natural knack at encouraging people. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24 that we should consider one another, think about each other, and how I can encourage you. Some people are really preoccupied with that. Anybody? Okay. Like 5 people. A giver. Some people are givers. How many of y'all like to give? How many of you really like to take? Give it to me. Go find the people who like to give and you get hooked up. A leader. Oh, by the way, see what it says, exhorter, encourager. There are some people who, if you are an exhorter, you need to be in a job where you can exhort. If you're a teacher, you need to be in a position where you can teach. If you're an encourager, you want to be in a place where you can encourage. I go to the, when I'm in the airport, sometimes I'll go to, well, most of the time I'll go to the counter to try to get my seat changed. Because if you work it long enough, you may get it. And, you know, try to get a, I like the window, I like the exit row, and then, you know, if you can get first class, you know, really cheap or free, you want to do that as well. But you just got to work it. And sometimes you go up to the gate or to the counter, and the person there, it says customer service. Keyword, service. But the person back there doesn't want to serve. They don't even like to help. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Something ain't right. And it could be customer service anywhere. Macy's, anywhere you go. This says customer service. In other words, come ask us because we really want to help make life easy for you. That's what that means. But they do not want to be there. And they're like this. Next. What? And you almost feel bad asking for help. Well, you know, I'm kind of stranded 8 hours away from my house, and my wife's getting ready to have a baby, but I don't want to take up your time. Do you think you can get me home? And they cop attitude with you. Those people need to be in another position because they're not exhorters. And sometimes I want to say, I have to be careful what I say because, you know, I'm a pastor, so I kind of get beat around the bush. Say, how are you doing today? I'm okay. I said, oh, okay, because you don't look really happy, but I just wanted to bless you today, and hopefully, you know. You really probably need to get another job. I've never said that, but I sure wanted to. But if you are an exhorter, those are the kind of jobs you should have so you can encourage people. If you're a leader, a giver, you should be able to someplace where you can give. Another next one is leader. Some of y'all have an actual max leadership. By the way, a leader is the leadership is influence. Everyone say influence. It's not being the boss. Those two things have nothing to do with each other. Other than the leader, the boss should be a leader. But just because you're the boss does not mean you're a leader. A leader is someone who has influence that can influence people to go in a direction that the company or the team wants to go. But just because you have the title doesn't mean you have the gift. Some people have it. You go to school, go to little kids, elementary school, high school, junior high, you'll see kids who are the leaders. Everyone's following them. If no one's following you, you're just going for a walk. So some people just have it. Mercy. Some people have a lot of mercy. Some people don't. When I was in Washington, D.C. this weekend, and I had an hour and a half meeting with one of the leading gay activists in the country. And it was him, another pastor, and myself. And it was a fascinating, incredible, very enjoyable meeting. I didn't want to leave. And one of the reasons for the meeting was that we can develop a relationship so when we debate, we're people to each other. We can disagree, but I'm not all the names you think I am, and I'm sure you're not. Wouldn't call you any names anyway, but you're a person, and I wanted to get to know you. I want you to get to know me, and we'll probably never, we may never cross fences, but we're still people. God loves you. God loves me. So let's be friends. Let's have a relationship. I was so glad I went. As a matter of fact, when we left, when we walked out of the building, the cab was in the middle of the street, and we're talking. And I didn't want to get in the cab. Cars are going around with traffic. And I'm like, I just want to talk to this guy a little longer. I actually invited him to church. I said, when you come to San Diego, you've got to come to the Rock. Please let me know. When I go to D.C., I'm going to contact him again. But the point was this, is that when you can develop and nurture compassion and mercy with people by getting to know them. And some people just naturally, everything breaks their heart about people. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, I have that thing with animals. Someone recently just told me they got rid of their cat. And they got rid of their cat by letting it go in a park that was closing a fence. And I was like, whoa, man. It broke my heart. Because the cat's going to be walking around going, where do I sleep? What do I eat? Are they coming back to get me? Now, maybe the cat ain't thinking that. And that rhymes. I didn't even know it. Okay. But some people just, they're very merciful. And then God can enhance that. Okay, look at the next list real quick. Next list are, you can't get it, you're not born with these. These are supernatural gifts. Some people call it sign gifts. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit's in your life. One is a word of wisdom. One is a word of knowledge. Faith is not necessarily, you can have faith. We all have a measure of faith anyway, but word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Now, the difference between knowledge and wisdom, knowledge is information. Wisdom is how to use that information. And for all of y'all who are in college, how many of y'all are in college? Raise your hand real high. Y'all are like, I don't want to admit it. When you get out of college, you have some information, and you go into profession, you have zero wisdom. I shouldn't say zero, but pretty much you don't know nothing. Because what happens is when you go to college, you learn all this theory and this information, most of which you forgot, and a lot of which ain't going to apply to what you do anyway. And you go to this job, and you have information, but you have no clue how to do the job because you've never done it. It's not a bad thing. You just never done it. And the people who are on the job say, oh, you don't need any of that stuff you learned in school. Here's how you do it. That's wisdom, how to take information and use it correctly. God can give you a supernatural insight into people. I was doing an interview, and during the interview, God told me to ask this person a question. And I said, God, I'm not asking that question. I mean, God, you really want me to ask that question? There's no way the answer could be yes. And this all happened within a split second. And I asked the question, because if the person said yes, they wouldn't have been able to get the job. And not that I wanted them to get the job, it just was that way out there. It was that extreme of a question. And he said, ask the question. And I asked the question. As soon as I asked the question, the person's head just dropped. And I was like, what? And it was incredible. And God will give you insight. He will give you knowledge. He will give you wisdom that you can't get anywhere else. And some people supernaturally have it. They just know stuff. Know stuff. God just gives it to them. You get a word of knowledge. He'll just tell you things about people and situations that you could never know anywhere else. That's the bomb. And you want that. When you go into any situation, a conversation with somebody, and if I do these interviews on TV, I don't know what they're going to ask me, and they always got a twist. So I'm always praying, God, when they ask me that question, because they'll ask me two or three that I know I can answer, then they're going to ask me one I'm going to get stumped on. Give me a word of knowledge. And I have been in interviews where I will literally open my mouth to answer, not knowing what I am going to say. But I, you know, there's no time. I can't sit there and think about it and look something up. I just got to say something really quick. So I'll go, and I'm like, God, give me a word. Because I'm exhaling. Something's got to come out. And it does. Healings. You're not born with a gift of healing. God gives it to you. Prophecy. Thus saith the Lord. Prophecy is not predicting the future as much as God's giving me a word for you today. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues, discerning spirits, those kind of gifts you get when you're born, you can't get other than the Holy Spirit. You don't have a foundation of any of that. The next one, Ephesians chapter 4, these are actually people. These are not necessarily gifts, but these are actually people that are gifts to the church. An apostle, not like apostles that witness Christ's resurrection, these are apostles, these are church planters. We call today a church planner. Some people are pastors of churches, of a church, and then there's some people whose gift is planting churches. Two different things. And so you see people who are head of denominations, or they'll just start a bunch of churches. They have an apostle anointing on their life. They minister to pastors. They may not even grow a big church. They just grow a whole bunch of them. Okay? I met a guy who in the Philippines, he's like thousands of churches. And he was actually here in this building a month ago, having a meeting, and I was telling him, you know, one day I was in the Philippines at a church service, and it was outside, and the preacher was preaching, and someone told me that when he was preaching, not the time I was there, but I had another time, someone walked up to the altar with a gun in his belt to shoot him. And when he went to reach for the gun, God paralyzed the guy. And he couldn't get the gun out, and he later got saved. And I'm telling this pastor from the Philippines, from the Manila, in that upstairs a month ago, this story, and he says to me, I was that guy. I was the pastor that almost got shot. not the guy with the gun. Let me clarify. And I was like, I was at your church. I saw you preach like 15 years ago. And we, you know, got up and hugged. And we may be going over to do a Miles Ahead festival in the Philippines next year. But he's having some 29-year anniversary or something in October with 5,000 pastors that are under him. I mean, he's an apostle. He has an apostle anointing. I don't think they call him apostle. They call him Pastor Eddie. But that would be what you call an apostle. apostleship. An evangelist is someone who likes to lead people to the Lord. They just thrive on non-Christians. I definitely thrive on that. If I'm in a crowd and there's non-Christians over there, like really, like convicts, drug dealers, whatever, and they don't know God, by the way, and then you have all these Christians over here, I'm going over there. That's where I want to go. Now, does that bad or good? No, that's just the way God wired me. I'd rather go talk to those guys and get them saved. And some people rather go talk to those guys. That's fine. They're both right. Okay? Pastor, teacher, pastor's a shepherd. Teacher can teach. Again, you see also teacher in the first column. Also. Those are people. Those are gifted individual people. And then the last list are things, other things that God has given us. Now, a gift comes from, when you hear the word gift or charisma or charis, charis is grace in Greek. Charisma, charismatic, gifts, it's all about grace. These are things that the Holy Spirit gives you graciously. God has graciously given us, in that last list, love. He's graciously given us salvation. He's graciously given us righteousness. All of this is a gift. And we want to be in a position where, God, I want to receive everything you're freely given to me. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it was. It says, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has given us. But the Spirit reveals all the things to us that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. So the Holy Spirit has given us all these tools that we can become everything God has called us to be and achieve everything God has called us to achieve. We don't want to be this kind of Christian. When we come to church and we just say, I'm just going to read this one verse or one chapter a day, I'm going to pray 5 minutes, and I'm going to put God in this little box, and then I'm going to live my life. Versus saying, God, I want it all. I want you to give it all to me. And that's my challenge to you. Give it all to me, God. Show me all that I can do. I went to this high school track meet a few years ago, the state track meet, and I watched high school kids run 4-minute miles. Now, for all you who have no idea how fast that is, I want you to run as fast as you, think about as fast as you could run, and then they run a little faster than that 4 times around the track. And to give you a little concept, you couldn't do that in a million years. As fast as you can, high school kids, I was just blown away. They're just like this, all the way around for 1 mile. And we can go into forever all the things the body can do. God is saying, not only can your physical body do stuff, let me anoint you with the Holy Ghost, I'll take it to a whole nother level. We have a prayer meeting this Saturday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 12 hours. Well, I'll probably go for an hour. No, come for 5, 6. Come the whole time. Why not? You never did that before. How many of you don't ever pray for 12 hours straight? Raise your hand if you never pray for 12 hours straight. Just everybody raise your hand. Thank you very much. I'm not raising my hand. I think I... No, you didn't. Come 12 hours, 6 a.m. We will start at 6 a.m. We get here. That's right. We get here like 5:30, and we will be here at 6 p.m. We did it 3 months ago. We're going to do it 4 times this year. Come right here. Now, some of y'all thinking, now, why wouldn't I do that? I'm sure I have something else better to do. You have nothing else better to do, most of you. Come check it out. And by the way, if you do come, which I hope you do, don't say, I'm going to stay for an hour. Just come and see what happens. The longer you wait, the more God you get. And God may stand right here by you for 4 hours, and he's just going to wait for the 5th hour, because he wants you to wait. Come. It was amazing. 6 a.m. Saturday right here. Bring your Bible, bring your pen, and bring your heart, and watch what God will do. He'll rock your world. Now, let's turn to your notes. What is our responsibility as we get to the end of the sermon? Number one, our responsibility is to create an environment for the gifts to operate. Create an environment for the gifts to operate. Ezra 7:10, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. You have to get your heart ready. When you read the Bible, it's not for the Holy Spirit's sake, because he doesn't know the Bible. When you pray, it's not for the Holy Spirit. He doesn't need to pray. It's for you. You are feeding yourself and giving, you're creating an environment in the, in your heart and giving the Holy Spirit tools to use on you. Well, I moved to my house 11 years ago, and we had no landscape. And my landscaper, it was a, we had a landscape nightmare, so I ended up having to do the landscape myself, and I have no idea what to do landscape. And our yard was all rocks. We actually filled two dump trucks full of rocks, wheelbarrow at a time. We piled them up in our house, like 50 feet long, about 4 feet high, wheelbarrow. My kid, it was like we were in prison. My kids were calling, crying out rocks, just bam. So every time we had to dig a hole, we had to jackhammer rocks. It was just, I almost killed myself. So, you know, all the irrigation lines, all the plants, everything was a rock event. So I bought this palm tree. It was like as high as the house. I wanted to put a palm tree in front of my house. I didn't want the rocks to deter my vision. So I wanted to get this palm tree. So I did buy it. It was a 48-inch box. It was a big. The bottom of the palm tree has a bowl. The root system is called a bowl, and it was in a big 48-inch box. I had to come on a truck with a crane. So the night before I plant this palm tree, I called one of my friends who's a landscaper. I said, listen, I'm putting this palm tree. Is there anything I need to know? He says, well, you need to have a really big hole. I said, yeah, I got a hole. It's about 40. He said, no, the hole needs to be twice as big as the bowl. Well, now I'm in the middle of the night. I got this metal pick and sparks are flying because it's all rock. And I'm trying to make this hole like 5 feet by 5 feet by 9 feet. And I got to put fertilizer in it. I got to put a drain pipe so air can get to the bottom of the root system. I got to put these little fertilizer pellets. So I'm doing prepping it all this night because the guy's coming like 10 in the morning with this 90-foot palm tree. It's really like about 30 feet long with this big bowl and a crane. So I'm thinking when he shows up and he starts, this thing is like way over my house, right? He's way up in the sky and it's like 5 million pounds. And then I start to think, how am I going to make sure this thing is straight? Because what if it's like that? I'm going to be the house with the crooked palm tree. So he puts it in the hole. Then I have to run all the way down the street, all the way on every angle to see if it's straight. Because it may be straight this way, but when you go sideways, it's like that. Because if it leans this way, you still think it's straight. But then when you look at sideways, it's like that. So I'm running over here, moving to the right, then running over here, moving to the left, running over here, moving that way. And then all of a sudden, it was absolutely God's hand. It was perfect. I was like, right there. But here's the problem. The bottom of the bowl of the root system was all uneven. The hole was all uneven. So now I got to pack the dirt to make sure it stays right there. And I got to put the pellets down. I got to put the water in. I got to water it. And then I got to pray it doesn't die. Because if it dies, I got this big, gigantic, dead palm tree in my house. But the landscaper said the main thing you have to do is you have to create an environment in the bowl so it can grow. You have to give it everything it needs so it can grow. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here's where we're at. It says, Paul says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I fed you with milk and not as solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Don't raise your hand, but look up here. Don't raise your hand. Everyone say, don't raise your hand. But how many of you are envious, you have strife and division? You're carnal. A lot of times we think of, well, I got to get the milk of the word, the meat of the word. We think, I got to get this deep information. And information is fantastic, but it's not about the information. It's about what the information does in your heart. And so sometimes we get so caught up in information and we're immature in our behavior. It's our behavior and how we treat each other, which is the main thing. And Paul's saying, you're carnal, not because of the information you don't have. It's because of how you treat each other. But let's read, and that's not the point of what I'm getting at right here. It says in verse 4, for when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? In other words, my church is better than your church, and my pastor is better than your pastor, and your pastor doesn't do this, and he doesn't teach, or he doesn't evangelize. That is so childish in the spiritual realm. Everybody can't go to the same church, everyone can't have the same pastor, and everybody can't have the best pastor. God has a diversity of gifts, and we just read that. Okay, but look what it says. He says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers or servants to whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? The Lord decided that you went over here to Apollos. The Lord decided that you were ministered to by Paul. Verse 6, I planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. What I'm saying here is that you and I, our responsibility to ourselves is that you would say, I am going to plant the word in my heart. You do that. I am going to water that word. I'm going to create a humble environment so that can grow. I'm going to nurture an environment in my heart where the Holy Spirit has free reign to do whatever he wants in my life. That is your responsibility. That is not the church's responsibility. The church is to help you. But we're only here 1 hour and 10 minutes a week. Every single day, you have to be nurturing that environment so that plant can grow. I have these pygmy dates, another different kind of palm tree in front of my house. We have about five of them in front of our house. And one of them is about 4 feet tall. We planted them all the same day, and they were all the same size when we planted them. Same day, same size. One right now is about 4 feet tall. Another one's 8 feet tall. Why? They have a different environment. One's in rocks, and the other one is kind of crowded. Its root system is crowded. The other one is out by itself, and it just blew up. Different environment. If God is going to do something in your life, you have to create an environment in your heart where he can do it. Give him the freedom, give him the word, give him prayer as tools that he can use against you and through you. But if you just get saved and say, I'm just going to do the minimum, Holy Spirit's going to go, I can't work with that. Now, he can do anything he wants, but he's not going to. He's going to say, okay, whenever you want to feed, I'll be ready. But that's your responsibility, my responsibility. Look at number two in your notes. Seek opportunities to fulfill your role in the body of Christ. You have to seek opportunities. In other words, direct your gift where it is needed. If you are an encourager, put yourself in a place around people who need encouragement. If you're an evangelist, go hang out with people who aren't saved. If you're a teacher, go hang out with people who want to learn. If you're an administrator, go administrate something. I was at a camp last week. Something is a word. I was at a Hume Lake camp 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I can't remember, and they had a skeet shooting, a shotgun. I never shot a shotgun before, and I like shooting guns. I hardly ever get to do it. I don't think I've shot a gun in 15 years, but I still like it. And they fire this, when you say pull, they fire this clay pigeon. It's like it's an orange ceramic plate that flies in the air, and you got to shoot it out of the air. And of course, as competitive as those guys are, you want to get them all, okay? And so I went out there once and learned, then I came back later. He said, come on back later, and I came back later. And right before I went up, there was a kid, he was 20 years old, and he was in a competition with another guy. And the first exercise where they had two clay pigeons come out at the same time and cross each other. So you have to shoot one, boom, to the right, and go to the left. So I was like, I want to do that. So I went up there, and I said, listen, he says, he was teaching me, aim the barrel of the gun right in front of the clay pigeon, and you'll hit it. So he told me where to put the gun, and of course it worked, and we hit it. You want to know what is your gift, which you can go to our website and take a gifts test. Just search, go in the search on our website, spiritual gift test, and spiritual gifts gift test, and you can take a test and find out your spiritual gifts. Once you learn your spiritual gifts, you want to take that spiritual gift, create an environment for it to flourish, and aim it right where it's going to be used. Put it where it's going to be used. Put yourself in that position. Say, I am going to encourage people. I am going to give. I am going to lead. I am going to teach. Do that. When you do that, you will experience a whole different level of joy in your life you never had before. The Bible says, Jesus says in Matthew 25, if you're faithful in little things, he will entrust you in the big things. Then you will enter into the joy of the Lord. You want the Lord's joy, not only man's joy. And you get the Lord's joy by being faithful in the little things that God has called you to do. And so my encouragement to you is find out who you are and say, God, give it to me, all of it. I don't want to just do good things. I don't. I want to do everything you want, which is better than good. And it's not a matter of comparing to somebody else. It's a matter of comparing what God has for you. Paul said in Philippians 3, I press on that I may apprehend. Everyone say apprehend. That I may apprehend what Christ has apprehended for me. What does that mean? Is that when Christ looks at every single one of you, he has a picture of what you can do, what you can become, your potential. Paul says, I am going to strive to achieve that for me. Has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with you, has everything to do with what he has, the standard he has set for me. And the way you can do that is let the Holy Spirit have his way with you. Let the Holy Spirit do everything he wants in your life. Create that environment in your heart. Find those opportunities and watch God open doors. And by the way, one of the things that God does is he opens opportunities where you just scratch your head and go, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. For me to meet that activist of that gay organization was a huge blessing for me. I was just in the right place at the right time. The guy said, here's where I'm going. I said, I want to go. And it was a blessing to do. I would challenge you, do these things and watch God start open up opportunities because he wants to use you. He doesn't want to waste you. He wants to use you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Holy Spirit, we do pray that you open up doors of opportunity for us. I pray, Lord, that you would stir up our hearts, that we would do whatever we got to do to create an environment that you may bless us, that you may flourish in our life, that you would give us opportunities, that you would prepare us for those opportunities. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Thank you for trusting us with the gifts you've given us. Thank you for trusting us with the message of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer, we have people who would love to pray with you in the room to your right. Come on down. Other than that, God bless you. Hope to see you Saturday.